And so today we continue with the series we started just last week on the book, The Art of Abundance by Dennis Merritt Jones. Dr. Jones says when his publisher first asked him to write a book about prosperity, his first thought was, what the world doesn't need is another book about prosperity. But as he took it into meditation and thought about it and prayed about it, he decided that the world did need understanding of the abundance principle so that we could live our lives more joyously and more fully. So last week we talked about the first two principles and just a quick review. The first one is be one with life. Here we learned that our lives can become full when we connect with our innate wholeness, with who we really and truly are, and when we understand that we are always one, never separate from our source. And rule number two, be aware that you live in an expanding universe, emphasizes that the universe, and when he says, writes the word universe, it means God, godness, perfect divine energy, that God is continually conspiring for our good when we are available to participate in the process. So today we're going to move into rule three. Rule three is be accountable for your consciousness. And the premise is, depending on your consciousness, you will create an abundance of more than enough or an abundance of not enough. I know that seems like an oxymoron, but stay with us. An abundance of not enough in every single area of your life. Dr. Jones explains this with a version of a story that I think we've told before in a different way, but it's really appropriate to this particular concept. It seems that there was a traveler who really was out to seek his fortune, and he had gone from town to town to town, but none of them quite seemed right for him. So one day he approached yet another town, and as he approached the city gates, there was a wise man sitting there. So the traveler went up to the wise man and he said, "Sir, can you tell me what kind of people live in this town? Is this town, does it provide a climate for abundance and wealth and prosperity?" And the wise man said, "Well, I need to ask you something before I can answer that question. What kind of people did you find in your former town?" And the guy's face got red, and he got real angry, and he goes, "Oh, they were horrible. They were terrible. They were just stingy and not welcoming, and I hated every minute of it. I couldn't wait to get out of there." And the wise man said to him, "Well, sir, I really think you better just keep moving on, because you're going to find the same thing in this town." A few minutes later, another gentleman approached, another traveler, met the same wise man, asked the same questions. And the wise man said to him, "Well, what were the people like in your former town?" And traveler number two said, "Oh, my goodness, they were wonderful. They were amazing. They were so full of abundance. They provided for me in a way I never could have imagined." And the wise man said, put out his hand and said, "Welcome, stranger. You're going to be very happy here, because you're going to find the same kind of people here." So, not about the people, is it? Sometimes it's about our own perspective of the people. Excuse me. So, Jones says that this timeless story shows that a life of not enough or a life of more than enough both originate from our own being. It's what the way we look at things. Wherever you go, your consciousness goes before you to announce your coming. As the old saying goes, you can run, but you cannot hide, right? And you cannot hide from, anybody want to guess? You got it. You cannot hide from yourself. Jones says, wherever you go, there you are. So I'd like you to think about the last time you traveled to another city or country. Dr. Jones says, regardless of where you went, you took the suitcase of your consciousness along. Now, I know, and you all know, it is possible to pack for a trip and leave our toothbrush, our shoes out of the suitcase, and I'm affirming we're not going to do that tomorrow, right? But it's possible. But one thing that you can never leave behind is your consciousness. And your consciousness is defined by all of our conscious and unconscious beliefs, everything in our subconscious mind. It is always packed and ready to go. So the question is, do you know what's in the suitcase of your consciousness? Joan says it is an important question for us to sit with because, like the travelers, the answer to that question will determine whether we have experiences of lack or whether we have experiences of abundance. Your suitcase of consciousness holds the imprint of every belief that you have accepted to be true about yourself from the day you were born to this now moment. So, what's the problem? Well, if you don't mind me saying so, the problem is BS, okay? The problem is humankind has been immersed in a unified BS, a belief system, which is essentially the combined conscious and unconscious beliefs of every single human being on the planet. A belief, Joan says, in lack is in our collective consciousness. He says it's amazing how much humankind has evolved. Just think about it. We put a man on the moon. We've made great scientific discoveries. We've created technologies to enhance the quality and length of life. Yet, we continue to be pulled into the belief that there is a shortage of whatever it is we think we need in order to be happy and healthy and wise. And the collective belief in scarcity draws its life force from fear. Joan says, this fear has mesmerized us and held individuals and entire cultures hostage in an invisible field of energy passed down for generations. It is, as he says, the big green frog you must be willing to swallow in order to set yourself free. Now, for many of us, that means we have to kind of go back and unpack our suitcase, letting go of any negative messages from our childhood that we might still be internalizing. I had wonderful parents, and I always feel kind of guilty when I say the things that they were not so wonderful about, but they were very hardworking. Both of my parents had grown up during the Depression, and my mother especially was sort of haunted by some of those memories of what happened during the Depression. And so I see some of you shaking your heads. And so she was always telling me, if I asked for something, she'd say, what do you think? Money grows on trees. Have any of you ever heard that? And even says a couple times things to me like, well, just don't expect that you can go away to college, or don't expect that you can have a big wedding because we can't afford it. God bless her. God bless her, you know? She was trying to protect me from what she thought was unrealistic expectations, right? So the point is, we absolutely have to watch and not let those messages take up permanent residence in our minds. I, at some point, just release them and let them go. I thought, well, you know, Mom was just wrong about that. That's all. So Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore, whoops, sorry, got myself backwards. There we go. There's Charles. Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore says, the beliefs that you and your ancestors have held in mind have become thought currents so strong that their course in you can be changed only by your definite decision to entertain them no longer, to release them and let them go. Also, for millennia, Joan says, we have looked outside ourselves for fulfillment, thinking the world is going to give us what we need. We consider prosperity to be nothing more than money and material things. You all know the principle, WHTMSW. You all know that one? Whoever has the most stuff wins, right? Joan says, the truth is, and I love this line, the truth is, as long as we equate net worth with self-worth, there will be a hole in the soul that no amount of stuff can fill. Prosperity is not just about having money and stuff. It's a way of believing, thinking, and living. We have to be willing to unpack that suitcase of our conscious minds and take out what no longer serves us, take out what is really not true. The saying, it's only the tip of an iceberg, or the iceberg, is really a perfect metaphor for consciousness. Researchers tell us that what we actually take in through our senses is really 5% of it is really from what is really out there. The rest of it, the other 90% of it, has to do with things that cannot be seen, things in our own consciousness, things that we believe. And the most insidious of all those beliefs lies at the bottom of the iceberg. We talked about it last week. Can anybody guess what it is? The worst thing, yep, I heard it, self. The worst thing we can believe is, I am not good enough. I am not good enough. That is the worst we can believe. So, the principle is, your consciousness determines the degree of abundance that is yours to claim. With awareness, you can see where every condition first originated as a belief. And we draw ourselves to those things that we already believe. Life is consciousness, and the good news, the really good news, is that we can consciously decide on the size and the contents of our suitcase. Now, Dr. Jones uses another metaphor for consciousness. It's one we've used before with affirmative prayer. It is the metaphor of a bucket. He invites you to go to a well and imagine that this well is absolutely rich in resources. It contains everything you need, everything you think you want: health, happiness, prosperity, good relationships. And he says, you dip in your bucket into the well, and you pull it up effortlessly. It's effortlessly. However, the amount of good you receive depends on the size of your bucket. With this bucket, we're not going to get a whole lot, are we? Even though the well is unlimited. Consciousness is our container, and we can expand our consciousness to hold truths about wholeness and oneness with ever-unfolding good. And this leads us to the practice. When it comes to creating and sustaining an abundance consciousness, slow and steady wins the race. You can't change in one day or one moment what it took a lifetime to create. Well, darn, right? It is not an instant waffle process. So the question is, do you pay attention to what you're putting in the suitcase of your consciousness on a daily basis? Do you really believe that you are worthy of abundance every moment of your lives? Jones suggests that we make this our mantra. Very simple to remember. A, B, C. Awareness builds consciousness. Will you say that with me, please? Awareness builds consciousness. Through present moment awareness, we can identify, challenge, and change our consciousness. One belief, one thought, one moment at a time. The author invites us to ask ourselves this compelling question. Does a belief in not enough live in me? Does a belief of not enough live in me? And am I willing to challenge this and reclaim the power I knowingly or unknowingly have given to that belief? We can create new belief systems. That's the good news. However, sort of like taking care of a child or even a pet, it will require our constant attention to sustain it. Dr. Jones suggests that we practice mindfulness. We talked about that last week. Mindfulness daily, and that we nurture right thinking, that we have the right attitudes and the right thoughts in our heads. We also can take time to read uplifting materials, meditate, attend classes and discussion groups, and feed our minds with healthy food thoughts. And the payoff is worth all the work, because when you change your consciousness, everything changes for you. It may not change in the outer world, but how you perceive it and yourself will change, and that makes all the difference. Collectively and individually, we're always creating our own reality by what we're thinking about it, what we're telling ourselves about it. Collectively, we know that we can be willing to release limited thinking and take on new beliefs and about the world and about ourselves, and this provides us with a new dimension of living. This is the root of bringing prosperity of all kinds into our lives. So rule number four is going to help us do just that. Rule number four is be focused. Be focused. Direct your creative energy by mastering the power of intention. Dr. Jones starts with a quote by Deepak Chopra, which is, "Intention is the starting point of every dream. It is the creative power that fulfills all of our needs, whether for money, relationships, spiritual awakening, or love. That it is the beginning of all." So the thing is, we always are drawing ourselves to that which upon which we focus. Let's return to our suitcase metaphor for a minute, okay? What if I'm going to take a trip, and actually getting into the premise. The premise is your mind is the most powerful ally you could possibly have in creating a life of abundance, purpose, and meaning, but it needs direction. You are the energy director. What if I thought I wanted to take a trip? Maybe I'm going to the Caribbean islands, okay? So I know where I'm going. I get my suitcase out. I just, not very focused, not very in the moment, reach in my closet, grab whatever my hand hits, and throw it in my suitcase. And it just happens that what I've thrown in are my winter clothes, okay? Well, I'm still gonna get there. The ship's still gonna sail, but you know what? I may be directing myself to something I didn't want. I may be directing myself to discomfort, sweating, and probably ridicule from the other passengers, right? Because I didn't focus on what I was doing. Our minds are shaped and scaffolded by our focus. If we are not mindful, we might end up with an abundance of confusion, lack, and disappointment. Anybody been there? You don't have to admit it, but I would admit that I've been there. So next comes the idea that the mind is a terrific servant, but a terrible master. That's an important one. So, the problem, what is the problem? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Often our minds are so easily distracted by the daily dramas and doings, the comings of going of life, that we sacrifice our ability to focus our creative energy on our oneness with the universe and the principle of abundance. Anybody ever feel that your lives are too distractible and you're pulled off of your purpose all the time? Just remember, though, we are always drawing ourselves to our own thoughts and beliefs. And that's why clarity of intention and just commitment to staying focused on that intention are what we need to do in order to get to our destination. And our destination is a life filled with purpose and meaning. Let's say your suitcase is packed with the right things, and you haven't really set an intention about where you're going. Do you go out to the garage, throw your suitcase in the trunk, sit in the car, and say, "Take me on a trip"? That's what it is, not to really have the true specific intention of where we're going. And Jones gives a great example of this in the book. Two friends set out on a trip, and they know where they want to go. They're going to San Francisco. So their minds are full of all the wonderful things they're going to see and do there, the cable cars, the wonderful food. They have a bed and breakfast all reserved overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, they've got their intentions straight, right? So they start out in their car, and the whole time they're talking about all the fun they're going to have. They pass through Nashville, but they don't stop to look at the Grand Ole Opry because they're too focused on where they're going. They pass through New Orleans, but they don't stop to look at anything there. And it's only once they've been through New Orleans that the driver goes, "Wait a minute, I don't think Nashville and New Orleans are on the way to California." Some of you got it, but some of you didn't, right? And then they say, "What happened? What happened to us?" Well, they had their intention, right? But they were not focused. What they lacked was paying attention to their intention. And sometimes we can do that. Jones says that if this story sounds like a metaphor for your lives, that's because it is. Sometimes we find ourselves living less than abundant lives because our focus drifts from our destination. Another word for destination would be our goal. From our goal to the distractions and all the drama along the way. The author says that perhaps the moral to the story is to focus on doing fewer things and doing them mindfully and efficiently. Well, now, isn't that a good idea, right? We could all benefit from that. The power, creativity, and productivity of a focused mind is beyond measure. An unfocused mind will become our master rather than our servant, and it will take us on detours and wild goose chases because the energy is scattered. To put this in perspective, let's think about a clearly focused mind being sort of like a laser focused on a target. Okay, the laser will reach that target even if it's miles away because it is consolidating 100% of its energy into a narrow single beam, right? That is just important. That's what happens. However, sometimes we're more like a light bulb, are we not? A light bulb is an unfocused mind. It's like it's a mind that emits light, but emits it in every direction all at once and only for a few feet. That's what our minds are like without focus. So the whole road trip story and this metaphor of the laser and the light describe how many of us live our lives with good intention, but a lack of focus and follow through. The point is we must set our focus, our laser beam, and hold it right on our targeted abundance. Only with clarity of focus and intention in this present moment can we make our powerful minds into faithful servants. And so the principle is, now those of you mathematicians in the room are going to like this. It's an equation. Are you ready? Here you go. I know some people like this. It is intention plus attention times belief equals manifestation. Jones says this little equation is absolutely the law of attraction in action. Again, our focus becomes our reality. The principle of abundance is always working. It never goes away. But we must make it our focus, give it our attention, and believe. That's exactly what this formula means. Jesus told us, whatever we claim is ours. In Mark 11:24, he says, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. In John 20:29, he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And Dennis Jones says, regardless of how far from your current reality your desire might appear, you have to be clear on your attention and with faith, hold your attention on the target and allow the principle of abundance to flow, whatever that looks like for you in your life. And so finally, we come to the practice. Because the belief in not enough is inculcated in the collective unconsciousness, training your mind to focus on the principle of abundance and keeping it there is the practice of a lifetime. Now, in Unity, we have lots of tools, do we not, for doing that? We have tools like denials and affirmations and affirmative prayer. But in order to use those, first, we have to become watchers of our own thoughts. We have to constantly be monitoring and say to ourselves, what am I thinking here? What am I thinking here? Our minds are always taking information in from just a myriad of outside sources. Just think of how many pieces of information you're bombarded with in one day. And we have to make sure that we are storing and keeping only the information that affirms what we want to create. We have to release those thoughts and those ideas that are not affirming our wholeness and oneness with all life. Now, the author includes several thought-provoking self-inquiry techniques and practices. And by the way, if some of you want to order books, we did get more books in there on the table in the bookstore. But one of the ways that I just chose to share with you this morning is to become aware of your relationships, both intimate and casual, because, Joan says, they speak volumes about who you think you are. So here's the self-inquiry method for that one. It is, ask yourself, do I have relationships with people who inspire and lift me to higher levels of thinking? Or do our conversations revolve around a belief in not enough? Or gossip and complaining about how bad things are? Essentially focusing on what's wrong with life rather than what's right. Very good self-reflective question, is it not? So the payoff for rule number 4 is when you establish and maintain a disciplined, focused mind, it will take you where you truly want to go, and your suitcase will be packed with everything you need. The result speaks for itself. The payoff in knowing, with suitcases packed full of abundance consciousness, intention, attention, and faith, knowing that we will arrive at that final destination of a life worth living. We will have mastered the power of intention, and we will be able to embrace our wholeness and create a greater flow of prosperity in every single aspect of our lives. And so it is. So let's just take a moment now to affirm that great truth about our God that is being affirmed in Unity churches all over the world. And for those of you who are with us for the first time, this is printed on in your bulletin, and we can say it together. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.